last minute, and you know, it was like that. I remember talking to a coworker, and he was doing his thing, partying and doing whatever he wanted to do, and I asked him about salvation, and he said, "Well, I got time." He said, "I got time." You know, the story of the thief on the cross. He got saved in the last hour. Well, I said, "What about the other one?" And he didn't have a response for that one, because most people think there was only one, and they forget about the other one. And one of the things that the cross does, one of the things that when you look at a cross, and I hope after the day we all look at the cross a little different. When you wear our cross, you see somebody with a cross. It really means division. Christ is in the middle. These two thieves were talking across from him. And one of the keys is, you either one or the other. You either on one side or the other. You're not in the middle. We always say that. You either on one side or the other. So let's look at Luke 23, and we're going to talk about the blessings of the cross, because it's great blessings found in the cross, and it's great blessings found in this lesson today in Luke chapter 23. We're going to start at verse number 34, and we'll read up into 43. Luke 23, we'll read verses 34 through 43, and this one should be highlighted in your Bible, because I think I've talked about it either in Bible study or on Sunday. But it's one of the great stories of the Bible, and one that you should really be familiar with, because there's so many truths found in it. And then said Jesus, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them deride him, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself. If he be Christ, the chosen of God." And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, "If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself." And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrews, "This is the King of the Jews." Amen. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, "If thou be Christ, save thyself and us." But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, "Does not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man have done nothing amiss." And he said unto Jesus, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Jesus said unto him, "Verily, I say unto thee, today shall thou be with me in paradise." That preach itself. Read that one. Father, thank you for the word of God.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Father God, that you didn't come down from that cross. Amen. For we know you had all power. And we know, because we read about it and we sing about it, we know it wasn't the nails that held you. Yes. Father God, it was your love for the world, your mission, your word said you were set like flint. You came to die for sinners like me. And I'm so glad you did, Father God. And I thank you so much. And I pray right now, Father God, if there's someone here that's on the wrong side of the cross, Father God, that they would cry out today.
Yes.
Say, "Lord, remember me." Father, thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. The cross. The cross of Jesus. We all wear our crosses. I know I have one under here and I have some at home and we have them hanging on the walls. And I want you, when you look by, when you walk through your house, you see a cross. See a cross on someone's neck. And you wonder, what side are you on?
Amen.
Which thief would you be if you were one of them? If you were one of the two, which one more represents you? The one on the left, the one on the right. Have you cried out, Lord, remember me? In boldness. I want to talk to you about the boldness that to Jesus, that this thief cried out. You know, we go to Jesus, and I've gone to people's houses, and they would call themselves Christians, and they would say, well, you know, will you pray? And I always think, it's your house. You know, and they say, I've heard people say, well, I'm not right with the Lord. Well, you need to get right so that you can pray. So that you can pray right.
Amen.
So it would be hard for me to talk about great conversions without this one. This is one of my favorite stories. I know y'all hear me say that every week. It's one of my favorite stories. This is just awesome stuff. And I just want to share some insight because there's so much in it. And you know, we could talk about for weeks. But look at it. Look what's happening here in verse 34. Jesus is on the cross. Imagine this thief that is in hell now with all his buddies. And he's probably, he may be a celebrity in hell. I imagine he would be. Listen, that's the guy that was on the cross with Jesus. His friend went to heaven. But this guy, all the way to the end, he rejected the plan of salvation. He rejected the word of God. All the way throughout his life. We know folks like this. We know folks like this. They've been through some stuff. We know some folks that's been through some stuff, been in and out of the hospital, heart surgery, back surgery, knee surgery, ankle surgery, and the church has come up and sent them flowers and tracts and a chaplain at the hospital to come and talk to them. And then, well, I get myself together. I'm coming to church. I'm going to get myself together. We know folks like that.
Amen.
We know folks like that. But you know, it tells you the power of sin.
Mm-hmm.
This is why, you know, I look around, I see the young people. And I'm so glad they're here because it's hard getting saved after you 21, 22, 23.
Amen.
And I'm telling you, after you go to Ohio State and Akron University and you go out and you start doing your thing, it's hard to get saved.
Amen.
After you get old. And if you old like me and you say, you know the glory of God. You know the power of God.
Amen.
To be able to come in. I don't care. Like I said, I don't care about supernatural healings and all this stuff. Listen, the greatest miracle, you say, You get someone 35 years old and they get saved. That's miraculous. That's miraculous because once this sin gets its hooks in you, he don't let go.
Amen.
And this story here tells us he will be at that deathbed with you. When you land on your back and the doctors say there's nothing else we can do, there's stories and stories of folks that still don't want to hear from the preacher.
Amen.
Still don't want to hear the gospel message. Still don't want to hear about God. Even on their dying bed. We've all been there. I would respect them even more if they write it down. Let's write it down. You know, you run into somebody. I don't have nothing to do with the Lord. Write it down. When I die, I don't want to have nothing to do with God. I don't want y'all have no preacher to preach our sermon. Just bury me. Have them write it down. Say, you bad enough. Let it write it down there. Just have a private ceremony. They ain't gonna do it. Look at this story. He's on the border. He's on the fringe. These two thieves are on the cross, crucified, ready to die. Ready to die. Look at this. Let's keep reading. I like this because we talk about the woman caught in adultery, and the Pharisees brought that woman to Jesus. And God saved her. God will use people in some of the most craziest situations to call your attention to Christ. In this story here, and I picked this up, God used these people to preach to these two thieves. Even on their deathbed, and it's something all of us aren't guaranteed. They heard a sermon from the people on their deathbeds. Look at it. This is what they heard. They heard the gospel. They heard the gospel. And you know, people say, well, you know, he just a last minute conversion. No, it wasn't. They heard the gospel. The gospel was preached to these dying thieves by the people. While they were on the cross, God used the people and these scribes and Pharisees to give them the gospel. So don't think this was some, you know, somebody get, you know, dying and they go over there and you do the last rites. That's not what this was. They heard the gospel. Watch this. Verse 35. And the people stood beholding. Here's your congregation. And I imagine the woman with the issue of blood might have been there, and the lunatic from Gadara who was saved, and all those folks that he touched and cast out demons, they was probably there just watching. Couldn't believe it. If they knew him, they said, well, he came to die. I remember when Minister Davis Dunleavy was up here preaching on sunrise service, he said the same thing. He said the reason that Jesus told John to take care of his mother, because Mary had to know that why Jesus really came. John knew some things that God had told, Jesus had told John that Mary didn't know. Amen. And he said, to my mother, explain all this to her. These people stood watching. Now watch this. Here's the sermon start with the rulers. And the rulers also with them deride him. That word deride means they just mocked him. Called him names. And you know, well, you say you're the king. You say you're the savior. Save yourself. That's Satan. That's the enemy. That's the enemy talking. Because, listen, the enemy may have known. They may not have known, but the enemy knew why he came. Came to die. He came to die for our sins. He told Nicodemus so much. He said, Nicodemus, listen. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he sent me to die for your sins. You need to be born again. Watch what they do. They preaching the gospel. Now watch them preach the gospel to him. Verse 35. He saved others. There you go. He saved others. And you know what? I believe when the two thieves on the crowd was there, if they was thieves, they'd have been following the crowds. They would have seen people being delivered. They would have seen demons cast out. As a matter of fact, it would have been impossible for them not to. Because Jesus healed the whole town. The whole area where he walked, he healed everybody. They would have definitely ran into some folks that Jesus had touched, that he had blessed and healed. Listen, he saved others. Verse 35. Let him save himself. If he be Christ, the chosen of God. That's what he was. That is exactly what he was. And these people are like, now they're sitting here thinking, okay, is he or isn't he? Same thing you have to do. Same thing you have to do. You have to make the same decision. If you're going to be saved, you have to make the same choice. Is he the chosen of God? Is he the Christ? Is he the Messiah? Is he or isn't he? Okay. And we know from 1 Corinthians 1 and 18, the Bible said the things of God, the preaching of the cross is to those that perish foolishness. It's foolishness to those that perish. When you try to talk to someone that's unsaved about the gospel, they look at you like a fool. You out of your mind. You gonna give up? I'm gonna give up what I'm doing, amen, and start going to church and start worshiping God and being ridiculed. That's part of the business. That's part of the business. I have no idea what is popular Christianity, where it's popular to be a Christian. Go over to I forget the country where 160 Christians were just slaughtered. Just slaughtered by radical Muslims just because they were Christians. And I understand they asked every one of them before they shot them and slit their throats, deny Jesus Christ, and they wouldn't. So I don't get this. Well, I'm popular because I'm a Christian. I'm popular. It's nothing popular about it. Watch this. 36. Not only did the rulers mock him, the scribes mocked him. Look at the soldiers in verse 36. And these would have been the soldiers that the centurion would have been over. So the centurion, he going to get it right at the end too. It says, and the soldiers also mocked him. What do you mean mocked him? Blasphemy. He is the Christ. They say he isn't. He is. They mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar. Might have been 100 degrees over there on the cross, sunny day, 12 noon. How many like a hot cup of vinegar? They mocked him. They mocked him. Verse 37. How did they do it? Saying, if, again, that's a big if. Those are big ifs. Ifs will get you in hell. Okay? And I listen to people talking. They start talking about ifs and buts. Let me tell you something. You got to be careful with that. What if? Or but? No. Here's a big one here. If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. Here's Pilate. I don't think Pilate was a jokester. Okay? I think when Pilate said something, he meant it. I think as a ruler, I don't think he fooled with the Jews like that. I don't think he fooled with them, but he really believed that Jesus Christ was who he said he was. They tried to get him to take it down. They said, take that sign down. Put that he said he was. Now, Pilate said, what I have written, I have written. What did he write? He wrote a superscription. He put a plaque over their head. Both of them thieves would have been able to see it. They would have been able to see it. And it was brought in bold letters. And it was written over him in the letters of Greek, Latin, and Hebrew. And in Greek, Latin, and Hebrew, I mean, all the people in that area. You were without excuse. You are without excuse. That's the point. This is the king of the Jews. Now, one other thing we don't want to sit here, and I don't want to sit here and people say, well, that was a last minute conversion. Let me tell you something else. These would have been Jews. These would have been Jewish boys on that cross. These were Jews on that cross. And unlike our kids in our culture, who get 13, 14, 15 years old, don't have a clue. Okay? You ask them, you know, where's Jeremiah, the New Testament or Old Testament? And half of them wouldn't know. They don't know nothing about the Bible. And I say that to charge the teachers, charge the Sunday school teachers, you know, teach these young folks. Get in their business and talk to them about the things of God, because we don't know. We don't know when that time's going to come where they're going to have to make a call. They're going to have to make a decision about who Christ is. These are Jews. At 13, they even have what they call a bar mitzvah going into manhood. But prior to that, they would have known that Bible. They were taught that Bible. They would have been schooled in the things of God. By the time they were 13, they would have known something. They would have known that Old Testament. They would have known that the Messiah was going to come. And that he was going to die on the cross, and he was going to die at Passover. They would have known that he was going to do miracles and signs. He was going to heal the sick and the blind and the lepers and raise the dead. They would have known that. They might not have believed it. Okay, like some of our kids in here, they didn't heard it. Because I know I didn't preach it. And they say, I don't want to hear that every Sunday. I don't want to hear that. But there's going to come a day. Because I just believe the word of God says his word will not return void. And they might not get it right now. But it's going into their spirits and it's going into them. And this is why we're called, we're charged as men of God. I was talking to Jeremy. I said, Jeremy, I got at least 6-7 men here that can stand up here and preach any given Sunday. But I believe it's necessary that if you're going to come up here and stand before God's people, whether you're teaching Sunday school, Wednesday night, or preach, you need to preach the gospel. Preach the gospel and preach it like you believe it yourself. Are you preaching like you don't believe it? They ain't going to believe it. But it is God's word, and it will not return void. And our children are hearing it. And they can fall asleep, and they can text. They hearing it. It must be preached. And I believe these men on the cross had heard it. And it's a good chance, according to Mark, that they even were baptized under John's baptism, because in Mark chapter 1, verse 5, it says that John baptized everybody in the land of Judea. Okay, and for those who don't know me, I just take the word of God, I just take it for what it say. Okay, in verse 5 of Mark, it says here, and there went out of him all the land of Judea, and they of Jerusalem, and were all baptized of him in the river of Jordan, confessing their sins. And remember, John had a lot of folks following him, so he wasn't the only one baptizing. He had a whole lot of his own disciples. So we don't want to sit here and say, well, they didn't know nothing. This was just, you know, anybody can get saved at the last minute. No. I don't believe that. I don't believe that. Why? Because Psalms 14:1 says this. A fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. And I believe after you hear the word of God, according to Jeremiah, after you hear the word of God, you will want to be instructed. You will want to be instructed. Jeremiah said, when I heard the word of God, then was I instructed. You tell me about a salvation experience that don't lead to you wanting to be instructed. You have to be careful.
Amen.
Be careful. Look at verse 38, 39. We get to the lesson. And one of the malefactors, criminals, which were hanged, railed on him. Continued blaspheming him. I mean, you think about this. He continued mocking the Lord. Now, I remember some of these movies that come out. There was a movie came out called Bucket List. I didn't watch it. It comes on. You might be watching a basketball game or something. Or a commercial come on. But I guess it's about some more folks getting old, and they want to put together some things they want to do before they die. Am I right? I'm on close.
Yes.
Round there. I'm in the ballpark. Getting to know Jesus ought to be in your bucket before you leave here.
Amen.
You know, my heart go out to, I see these kids and they got cancer and they get to Akron Hospital and they got leukemia and different things. They're gonna die and you know, the whole town dressed up as Batman because the boy wanted to meet Batman, and that's fine. But if you know your son is dying, you need to make sure he knows that man.
Amen.
Okay? You need to make sure he knows Jesus. Okay, you need to have some folks coming up there with some crosses and dressed like Moses to the hospital. You know, put on the passion play for them. See, my kids, they want to meet Peyton Manning. They're on their deathbed. They want to meet Peyton Manning. Let me tell you something. Peyton Manning, they die for you. Okay, well, you know, I got a picture with LeBron. And my son, before he died, he got a picture with LeBron. That's fine. LeBron's not that kind of king. Okay, we can call him King James, and that burns me every time they call him that, but he's not that kind of king. You know your kids in trouble, then they can meet the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's the king they need to meet. And they need to meet him. And they need to embrace him. I want to be like that king. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But this malefactor in his dying breath, imagine in your dying breath, you on the cross next to a man that you know has healed and delivered and saved. And here's all you have to say to him. He says, if, there's our if again, thou be Christ, save thyself and us. And that's the modern day gospel. That's the modern day health, wealth, and prosperity gospel, because all we want to come to Jesus for is what we want. What can you do for me?
Amen.
Health, wealth, and prosperity. Give it to me. Give me, give me, give me. And he knew he wasn't coming off that cross. Okay? Jesus could have got him off. He wasn't coming off that cross. Because it was written that Jesus was going to die between two thieves.
Amen.
So he couldn't come off. But he could have went to heaven. He could have went to heaven. That's what he says. If thou be Christ, save thyself. And us, what's he asking for? What's he asking for? Just get me down. Cut me loose so I can go on about my business. Okay? Saying these hospitals full of these kind of folks. Every floor. And I walk around and I talk to them and I go in the room and I pray with them. And you know what? Where your church at? And I get out. I'm come visit you. I ain't seen none of them. Okay? You know, I always used to say, well, you know, the God you pray to, whoever your God is, that's the person who should come visit you. Okay? They don't like to hear that. Because the boys ain't coming to pray with you when you get sick. You don't see a whole lot of men walking around hospital visiting their buddies from the clubs. You just don't. Here, let's get to this. He railed on him. He's got an opportunity. He's got an opportunity, a great opportunity. Greatest opportunity ever. You got to die next to the Savior of the world. You could have went into glory, but no. He didn't want to hear. Look what he says, verse 40. Here's his friend. True repentance. We talk about the illuminated thief, the one who God lit up. I talk to you guys all the time about God doing a work of grace on a heart. God doing a work of grace on a heart. Well, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Both of them heard. Why did this one thief choose Christ and the other one didn't? That's a great question. I don't know if I can answer it. Other than God did a work of grace on the one and the other one he didn't. I don't even know if that sounds right. Because God gave both of them the opportunity. Both of them had the great opportunity to accept or reject Jesus Christ. One accepted, one rejected. That's the cross. It's divisive. The gospel is divisive. How many of you know if you come to the Lord, you lost friends? Some of you know if you really get serious about this, you're not going to be the same. Your co-worker's going to think different of you. Your classmates going to think different of you. Your own family will think different of you. How many been there? Amen. Things change. The cross is divisive. It's disruptive. It'll upset you. It'll rock your world. It's going to change how people think about you. Some people think you're crazy. You know, you may not get promoted. Definitely won't get invited to all the Christmas parties. Because it's costly. It's costly. Here's a criminal. Hands and feet nailed to the cross. And he's still loyal to the people. He's still loyal to the crowd. He wanted to join in the crowd and mock Jesus. He's on the cross. His friend, eyes had opened. In verse 40, we see something happening here. And this has to happen. This ought to be our testimony. You tell me you're saved, your testimony ought to line up here. Think about it now, Pastor. Get on us. I'm not getting on you. I'm going to give you the word of God and you take it how you want it. But your testimony, if you say you ought to have, you ought to understand a little bit of this. Young people, you understand a little bit of this. Folks getting baptized in a couple weeks, understand a little bit of this. Okay? This ain't popular. It ain't popular being saved. Everybody ain't going to like you. You don't cuss and swear and you ain't drinking and getting high and you ain't running around here chasing everything that move. You ain't cool.
Amen.
You a L7, lame. You a lame-o, all that. You wearing suits and ties. You going to church. Nothing cool about that. But ain't nothing cool about going to hell when you die.
Amen.
Ain't nothing cool about going to hell when you die. And then by the time you get out of high school and you get done with college and you got your law degree, you'll be representing some of them same folks that mock you.
Amen.
And tease you and bullied you. Listen. That's a cost. There's a cost with being a Christian. I don't want anybody to come here and think, well, you know, I have to be a Christian. You know, I play basketball, I play football, and I'm a Christian. You know, nothing wrong playing basketball, nothing wrong playing football, but you need to be known in that locker room as a man of God.
Amen.
When players get hurt on the field, you be the one. Can you pray for us? We don't know. You don't understand how this happened. And you see somebody with a broken leg on the football field. You need to have some. We need to have more young men and young women that know the word of God.
Amen.
In our communities. That's what's wrong. A lot of our problems starts with the church and the church folk. Here's this thief. He's getting it. He's got it. God has illuminated him. His eyes have opened. His spirit now belongs to the Lord. Here's the steps of repentance. What is repentance? What is repentance? Change of mind. Change of mind, change of life. It's not just, okay, you change your mind and you're going right back doing what you did. No, it's a 180 degree. You turn from the way you used to be. And now you're walking in a new direction. It's not a 360 where you just turn all the way around and you continue to do the same thing. Some folks have gone 360. That's not repentance. Repentance is 180. And it's costly. It's costly. Listen. Verse 40. But the other. Now Jesus is in the middle. They're talking across Jesus.
Jesus in the middle. There's one over here, one over here. They're talking across Jesus. And this basically, this man has taken the first couple steps of repentance in verse 40. He says, but the other one, the one on the left railed on him. He railing on him. He talking about him. You a liar. You ain't who you say you were. You ain't Christ. You ain't the king. You ain't the Lord. If you was, you could save yourself and me. And we can get off this cross. And he ain't want nothing to do with Jesus. Nothing to do with Christianity. Nothing to do with church. Nothing to do with the Bible. None of that. On his dying bed. And here's number four, verse number four. Here's the other one. But the other, answering, rebuked him. That's your first step. You want to talk to me about being saved, you're going to walk away from that old world. Some of them old friends, some of them old boys, and when I preach tonight out at the Indian River, I'm going to talk to them boys about walking away from some of them gangs you in and different things. You can't be a Crip, a Blood, a Heartless Felon. I sometimes wonder if you can even belong to one of these sororities. And call yourself a Christian. Some of the stuff they do. Okay, and we think we can do anything and lift up and still be God's person and still go to God in power and boldness and prayer. I don't believe you can. Listen what he said, verse number 40. He said, but the other answered and rebuked him. Who's he rebuking? His friend. His partner in crime. Now there was one missing. We should have opened their eyes. Because Barabbas wasn't there. Jesus was in Barabbas' spot. And they didn't already see Barabbas was saved. In a literal way. Okay? He's saved. I don't believe Barabbas is saved biblically. I don't think we're going to run into Barabbas when we get to heaven. I think Barabbas got down. And I think the other thing was like, you know, do what you did for Barabbas. Get me down so I can run with him.
Amen.
But listen, verse 40. And the other answer rebuked him. Saying, does not thou fear God? You want to talk about the first steps of salvation, repentance. There's a healthy fear of God. Somebody said, you know what? The fear of God is the what? The beginning of wisdom. And there's some folks just don't fear God. There's some folks sitting in here today don't have a fear of God at all. None. Not an inkling. Could care less what God think about what they do and how they do it. He says this, seeing, verse number 40, does not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation. You dying just like he is. You on your deathbed and you still acting a fool. You still out of your mind and you about to die. These folks are about to come in here in another hour or so and break our legs. They would have known all that. They would have been in the same holding cell probably as Jesus all night. And Jesus would have told them, listen, I came to die for the sins of the world. So they would have been really, really, I believe, really familiar with what Christ came to do. And they still, this one here is still condemning him. He's still ridiculing him and mocking him. Let me tell you something. Sin is powerful. And somebody used to say, we still say it, sin will always take you further than you wanted to go, keep you there longer than you plan on staying, and cost you more than you plan on spending. Listen, young folks, that's the truth. Talk to some of these old folks in here. Tell them, they'll tell you, I don't believe any of them shame. Let me tell you, pull them to the side. They'll tell you how much it costs. Okay? Some of them been through some stuff. See, sometimes we think we're the only one going through. No, we ain't. Some of us been through some stuff.
Amen.
We had some heartache and pain caused by sin, caused by doing some of the things that we knew better. Some of us, like Jeremy, still paying for it.
Amen.
Me too, Jeremy. I'm in the same boat. Y'all know what I'm saying.
Amen.
Look at verse 40 again. He said, we indeed justly. That's important. Now keep your eye on the weak, because at this point he's ministering to his friend. He's using his dying breath to minister to someone that he loves. Think about that. Are you seeing this, Minister Brian?
Yes.
He's on his dying bed and he's ministering to his boy, to his buddy. He said, he's trying to get him to buy into this. Open your eyes. Don't you see that we're dying and we're getting what we deserve? He's saying, we indeed, that's a strong word. Amen. Justly, we have been found guilty. Guilty as charged. And he said, we are getting what we deserve. What? Listen, the wages of sin is death. These were resurrectionists. They were Jews that were just trying to overturn not only Rome, but their own people. They were robbing and stealing from their own people. And then he said, we are getting what we deserve, for we receive the due reward of our sins. You want to talk about repentance? Step number two. Number one, turn your back. Number two, admit I'm a sinner. I am a sinner. Okay? We all have what? Sin. And he was a sinner. He had a fear of God. Fear of God. Turned his back on some things. Word of God said, come out from among them and be ye separate and touch not the unclean thing. Gotta walk away from some stuff. You got to have a healthy fear of God. And then when you have all that, you will realize when you look at yourself and compare yourself to God, you will realize I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. And this is what he's saying. He said, I'm a sinner. We've received the due reward of our deeds. But this man, what man? God. How did he get this understanding? How did he get to where he's at? God had done a work in his heart. And for any of us in here to ever come to the understanding that God is sinless, that God is the Savior of the world, that God is what I say, God has to do a work in our hearts. Amen. Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourself. It is a gift of God. Listen, not by works. Listen, any man should boast. This man couldn't do nothing. He nailed to the cross. All he had, only things he had operating was his ears and his mouth. Amen. Okay?
Amen.
And then he had his ears to hear. And his mouth to confess. Because the word of God said, if we confess our sins, he's what? Faithful and just to forgive us. And you can't go to heaven without your sins being forgiven.
Amen.
Let me tell you something. He knew what a whole lot of folks knew. And maybe he heard it. He was in the mix now. Judas knew. He's saying this man has done nothing. Judas knew. Remember Judas? Judas, look what Judas said. He said, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. Mm-hmm. Judas knew. Pilate's wife knew. Pilate's wife said to Jesus, to Pilate, have nothing to do with that, what? Just man. And Pilate knew. He said it over and over and over. Pilate said, listen, Pilate saw that he could not prevail nothing, but that rather a torment was made. He took water and washed his hands before the multitude and said, I am innocent of the blood of this just man. Just man. Peter said it like this. But with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without spot or blemish. How about that? How about that? Now, how did this man figure in all this? He got it. He knew. He said, this man is sinless. This man is sinless. God's working on this man. He's giving him boldness. He's giving him a healthy fear of God. He's giving him the power to turn from his old ways. Man, that's a hard one there. Let me tell you something. That's a hard one there, folks. Walking away. He gave him the power to admit that he's a sinner. He's giving him the power to understand that Christ was without sin.
You
know what? But even with all that, it is difficult.
Amen.
It is difficult for y'all's pastor sometimes to publicly confess Jesus Christ. That's not easy.
Amen.
That is not easy. I'm not sitting here and I don't sit here and rise all up and like I got it all together. It is sometimes difficult to confess Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord because the world has a way of pressuring us. But this man made a public confession that Jesus Christ is King. Look what he says in, I believe, verse 41, verse 42. And he said unto them, Lord, excuse me. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, he called him Lord. That's a big step. That's a big step because he's saying this. The crowd is hearing this. And imagine, you don't hear nothing else from the crowd. Once Jesus started having this dialogue with the crowd, you don't hear nothing from the crowd. I believe all of them can hear him. I believe all of them can hear Jesus on his deathbed. In his last breaths, he's saving a soul.
Amen.
Wow. Imagine that. Verse 42, he says, Jesus, Lord. Now, if you don't have a King James Bible, you don't have that in there. If you don't have a King James Bible, probably need to get one. Because that's important. That's huge. For any Bible to take that out and call it a Bible, that's interesting. He says, Jesus, Lord. What gave him that boldness to call him Lord? He just went through it. He rebuked his friends. He had a healthy fear of God. What else did I say? I'm moving. He realized that he was a sinner. How about that? He understood that he was going to die. Now he's calling him Lord. That's interesting. He said, Lord, remember me when you come into thy kingdom. Why would Christ have to remember him? What's he saying? What's he acknowledging? He's acknowledging the very fact that there's life after this. That there's that my soul, my flesh, and my body may die and go into the ground, but after this life, my soul's going to go either to heaven or hell.
Amen.
He knew that. That's interesting. That's interesting. Because we're in the same category now. Like I said, your soul's going somewhere.
Amen.
And I can get up here and preach and tell everybody that body's done. Okay?
Right.
And your soul going to be somewhere when you die. The Bible says absent from the body for the believer, presence with the Lord. Okay? And a minute after you die, the Bible said the rich man lifted up his eyes in hell. Okay? So we don't want to sit here and not teach that there's not an afterlife because you're going to live. You're going to live somewhere. Okay? Pastor, I don't like to think about that. Can you make a public confession? You know what he's saying? Here's what he's saying. Romans 10:9. Dave ain't here. He quote this for me. I had to read it. I don't know why I can't quote this or memorize this. He said, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's exactly what he's saying here.
Amen.
When he says, remember me, he's saying, you know what? There's life. There's life after this. Y'all know the story of the widow from Zarephath? The man, Elijah, was passing by and she invited him into her house. And Elijah found out she wanted to have a child. And he gave her a child. And then the child got sick. The Bible says, and the child got sick. 1 Kings 17:21. Look at this story. Because this is interesting because some of us really struggle with the fact that when you leave here, this is summertime and springtime. And I'm watching as I travel to and for all these dead raccoons and squirrels all over the side of the road. Let me tell you something. That's not you. Okay? Animals don't have spirits like that. Okay? When you die, your spirit's going to heaven. Watch this. 1 Kings 17. And it came to pass, after these things, the son of that woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick. And his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. What's that mean? Dead. Okay? Now, she cried out for the man of God. Verse 18 says, and she said unto Elijah, what have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come to call unto me my sin to remembrance and to slay my son? She thought God had did this. That's normal. And he said unto her, give me the son. Stay with me. I know this can be laborious. Stay with me, please. Give me the son. And he took him out of her bosom and carried him up into the loft where he abode and lay upon his own bed. And he cried unto the Lord. Here's Elijah crying unto the Lord for this boy's soul. And it's interesting because I teach and I believe that children are innocent. And when they die at a young age, they soul go to be with the Lord. I believe the Bible supports that. I believe the Bible teaches that. David's son died and David was mourning and David stopped. And the people thought something was wrong. David said, listen, what's there to mourn for?
Amen.
He's in heaven. If I want to see him again, I need to get to heaven. That's what David basically was saying.
Amen.
Okay? Y'all had that minister to y'all folks that lost children. Come on, understand. Your children are doing better than you.
Amen.
You're down here struggling. Listen. And he cried. Here's Elijah, verse 20. And he cried unto the Lord and said, Oh Lord, my God, has thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourned by slaying her son? Here's Elijah calling on the Lord with boldness. And he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried unto the Lord and said, Oh Lord, my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. Where was that soul at? It was in God's possession. It was in God's possession. Look at verse 22. I love this because this thief knew something. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah. My goodness. What if we pray like that? That God would hear our voice. That's Pastor Neil. Praying for his church again. Praying for Deacon Oliver. Praying for Michael and Randy and Ray. That's Pastor.
Amen.
And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah. And the soul of the child came into him again. And he revived. How about that?
Amen.
What a great story. This thief knew that his soul, he's going to die on that cross, but his soul was going to be somewhere. He knew that. Paul knew it too. In Hebrews 9:27, Paul says this. He says, and it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Can't judge nothing that's dead.
Amen.
Y'all watching them trials on TV? Them folk got to stand up in front of the judge. They ain't rolling. They ain't going to the cemetery and roll that dead body in there and the judge going to talk to it. If you're going to be judged, you're going to be judged. You either going to the Bema Seat judgment or the White Throne judgment. You're going to be judged.
Amen.
You're going to be judged. Let me say this. I got some stuff here. I'm going to close. He had that kind of boldness. He asked the Lord to remember him. And when I think about folks that made those same requests, certain ones come to mind, and I'm just going to cover a couple, and I'm going to let y'all go. Gio ain't counting this morning. Think about one come to mind, all of you guys, probably Hannah. Hannah had a relationship with the Lord. And she, when you have a relationship with the Lord, and the thing I'm trying to push today, if you have a relationship with the Lord, then you have the authority, you have the power, you have the boldness that you can go to the Lord on behalf of your loved ones. You can go to the Lord on behalf of your sisters. You can go to the Lord on behalf of your children and your parents. You see your parents struggling and you don't know the Lord. You go to church, but you don't know the Lord. You see your family members struggling and you go to church every Sunday and you clown around, but you don't know the Lord because you can't pray for your loved ones. And that's a predicament you shouldn't be in as a child of God.
Amen.
As a child of God, you ought to have the boldness to say, you know what? My children are going through. My loved ones are going through. My parents talking about getting divorced. My parents are mad at each other. And I need to go to the Lord and pray for them. And you can pray as a child. And I was in my office today and I come out and me and Dave always pray. Michael was in there. I said, Michael, pray. And Michael, pray for us. Michael, pray for us. And you older children in here ought to be able to pray.
Amen.
You don't know. There's some nuts out there. You don't know. One day. Be like the lady down in Atlanta and a guy come into the school with the machine guns. And he ready to light it up. And she started praying for him. She pulled him aside and started talking to him. You don't know, you might be in that situation. You never know, it might pull up in, I rode by Austintown Fitzgerald, it's like a little prison back there.
Amen.
And Liberty and all these crazy folks out here doing crazy stuff. And our children need to know how to pray.
Amen.
You just don't know. Hannah knew how to pray. Hannah, here's Hannah. Hannah wanted a son. She wanted a son, and she wanted a son bad. I had Hannah. And Samuel, Hannah says this. She says, Hannah vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look upon the afflictions of thy handmaid. What's she calling herself, a handmaid? Your servant. I'm your servant, Hannah. Hannah said, I'm your servant. And remember me and forget not thy handmaid, but will give thy handmaid a man child. She was specific.
Mm-hmm.
Hannah wasn't playing around. She didn't say, oh, let's give me a child. She didn't want no any child. She said, give me a man child. Give me a man child. Why, Hannah? Then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. She gave him the Nazarite vow. And we all know that her son grew up to be one of the great prophets of the Bible, because she meant what she said. How about this one? How about the publican? It don't come out like, remember me, but the publican, almost every publican, but the publican, Luke 18:13. He said, the publican standing afar off would not lift so much as his eyes to heaven and smote upon his breast, saying, oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He's basically saying, remember me. Remember me, Lord. Remember me. And I could go on and on, but I'm going to give you one more. Hezekiah. Y'all know the story. Hezekiah got sick. Sick was unto death. And Isaiah, the prophet of the Lord of Amos, came unto him and said unto him, thus say the Lord, set thy house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. How about that?
Amen.
Let me tell you something, folks. We always praying for folks. We always praying for sick folk. But you know what? God ain't required to answer our prayer just so they can get healthy and go back to hating God.
Amen.
You know, we praying for sick folk and they get healthy and they go back to serving the devil. No, I mean, says Pastor, you say some stuff. That's the truth. Oh, pray for my brother, you know. Pray for my cousin. Well, you know, if God blesses him, he's not going to be a blessing to God.
Sure,
when God bless him, he's going right back
Amen.
To being an enemy of God.
Amen.
Listen to Hezekiah. And Hezekiah says this. And Hezekiah heard that. Hezekiah then turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord. And he said, remember now, O Lord, and I beseech thee how I have walked before thee in truth. Hezekiah wasn't playing. Hezekiah pulled his whole resume out on the Lord.
Amen.
And said, you need one. And you need the man of God praying for you. And one pray. I'm going to pray for your cousin. I'm going to pray for your sister-in-law. I'm going to pray for your auntie. But you know what? Give me a resume.
Amen.
What's she been doing? Oh, once she gets healthy, she going to get it together. You know, she ain't going to go there no more. She ain't going to do that no more. She going to get out of that relationship. She ain't going to. I'm going to the God that know everything. Hezekiah pulled his resume out. He said, I walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart and have done that which is good in thy sight, in God's sight. Hezekiah said, I've done good in thy sight. You know, because you see everything. You know me. And then Hezekiah, the Bible says, and he wept sore.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't playing. He didn't want to die because he had work to do for the Lord. See, some folks just want to live. They just want to be 80, 85. They ain't doing nothing for the Lord. Hezekiah wept sore because he didn't want his life to be cut short, because I want to preach some more. I ain't done. I got work to do. And the Bible said came the word of the Lord to Hezekiah, saying, go and say to Hezekiah, stop all that crying, stop all that weeping. Thus said the Lord, the God of David, thy father, I have heard thy prayer and I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will add unto thy days 15 years. How about that?
Amen.
How about that? Now, the next time you ask somebody to pray for you, ask yourself, what am I going to do? Why would I have a man of God praying for me? And oh, goodness, well, when I get together, I'm going to be a doggone fool again. Now, that's confrontational. Pastor confrontational. Let's close. Let's close. You talk about being blessed. Everybody want to be blessed? Oh, bless me. Bless me. I hear it all the time. How you doing, blessed? How you doing, blessed? Everybody blessed. Let me tell you what God said about blessing. I'm going to help somebody today. There's somebody going through because they believe in God. And they standing. And you might have to put them children out of your home. And they're going to ridicule you and mess with you. But here's what God said in his own words. When you're blessed. We don't like this. You ain't gonna hear it on the radio, all these churches on TV. You're not gonna hear it because everybody's blessed. Because being blessed means you got a nice car, nice house, kids in college, everybody doing wonderful. I'm blessed. Too blessed to be stressed. Okay? God is good all the time. He's on time, God. God is good. You got your viper. That's what Randy said, he's gonna get about the vipers. What's a viper? That's a car. Got your car, and, you got your Escalade. All your bills paid, you got a little money in your pocket. Only way to Dairy Queen. Give what you want, kids. Blessed. Here's blessing. In God's own words, Luke 6. He said, blessed are you. It's almost hard to say this to y'all. Because I know y'all don't agree with it. But it's the Bible. He said, blessed are you when men, Luke 6:22, when men shall hate you. And when they shall separate you from their company and shall reproach you and cast out your name as evil. What kind of blessing is that, Pastor? For the Son of Man's sake. He said, rejoice. Ye in that day, and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in the like manner did the fathers unto the prophets. What are you saying? What is God saying? What is God saying? He is saying, let me tell you something. He said, if you truly want to be blessed, you're going to separate from the world, and you're going to serve God, and you're going to be faithful in your service, and in being faithful in your service, men are going to hate you because they're going to look at you and they're going to see themselves. They're going to try to shoot you down, and they're going to try to find an art against you. They're going to talk about you. And listen, come with the territory. It comes with the territory. And I know that's not popular, but it is what it is. We're not going to have no mega church here, Pastor. You keep preaching that because folks want a full house. And if you're going to have a full house, you got to talk nice to folks. And you got to tell them they're going to be wonderful and everything's going to be all right. Listen, some of y'all medical people, got two of them here. At least I know, Lori and Sharon. I'm the doctor. Yes. And you come to my office and now I'm going to make somebody else a doctor. Lori's the doctor. And you go to her office and you got something in my back is just killing me. And she said, well, we'll do a biopsy. And she do the biopsy and she find out you got cancer. And you got it bad and it is spreading and all over your body. And you come back in and she say, well, I did the biopsy, ran the test back, and you are in great shape. You are doing wonderful. See you next time. And you say, man, I still got pain in my back. I don't know. I'm going to go get a second opinion. Now you go to Dr. Sharon. Some folks always work their way in my sermons, huh? I get Ray a break today. So you go to Dr. Sharon, and Sharon do the biopsy. No offense to your practice, Lori. You just trying to build a big, you just want to have a big hospital, a big office, a big practice. So you go to Sharon. Sharon said, well, do a biopsy. She come back. She said, listen, you in bad shape. That cancer is spreading all over the place. You need to get in here right now and see if we can stop it. Which doctor love you? Think about that. Which doctor love you? One Lori, Dr. Laura, is the one to tell you the truth. And me when I say, and I plan on the next after today, I was gonna preach a couple more. I'm gonna preach a series on love. Amen. I am. Starting next week, I'll preach a series on love. Maybe 10 weeks. But love is the truth. And I want to see you guys, I want to see you guys make it. I want to see you guys succeed. And I want to see you guys prosper. And prosperity comes with knowing the truth. And prosperity comes when your deathbed comes. And like I said at a couple funerals, I only done a couple funerals, and I tell them all the time, you know what? Ellie Black, they got a shipment coming in Monday, Tuesday, you know? And then, you know, Mr. Black, the embalming fluid that you ordered is here. They ain't not running out. And then the caskets are here. Somebody help with the truck. The truck is here with all the caskets. They got one with your name on it. And you're going to leave here, and we can do our thing, but you're going to leave here one day. And you need to leave here knowing the truth. You need to leave here knowing the truth. And you know what? And the few people that I buried here, and Deacon Nels and my dad, I know one thing. They knew the truth. Okay? They knew the truth. And me and Chester spent a whole lot of nights hollering, screaming at each other. Okay? And my dad would ask me questions all the time. He would ask me questions, and a lot of the questions I would preach on just for him. And I preached a series on prayer because he asked me about it. And he explained the Lord's Prayer to me. You need to know the truth when you leave here.